he deserves it. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 22, Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 17, talking about the Ten Commandments, talking about God speaks. God speaks and makes his known, desires known to you and me. He speaks and makes his commandments and his laws clear to you and me, and how we should live and how we should abide by them. Thank God for his word. Thank God for making his word clear and evident to us so that we will know what it is that he desires of us to do, what it is that he desires from you and I, what it is he desires to exalt and lift his name up on high and worship him today. Exodus chapter 20 is where we'll be, and we'll look at verses 1 through 17 and see what God has to say to your heart and mind. Go with me in prayer. Our Father and our God, God, we thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for a time to sing songs of praise and worship to you, the Lord. God, you are worthy. You are the one to be exalted. Your name is the one to be lifted high. God, as we have sung, you are holy. God, you are holy. And God, may we revere you as holy today. God, may we put you first in our life, the Lord. God, may we take your word and apply it to our life and understand it and learn from it, God, and what you would have desired for us to learn. God, we thank you for meeting us in this place today. Thank you for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God already here and moving amongst us, the Lord. God, we continue to pray that you bind Satan up, his demons, and his workers. Father, in any opposition, and cast them outside. God, let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have continued freedom to move in our hearts and in our lives today. God, as we open up your word, it is your word, God. God, I pray that you anoint the reading of your word. God, your word is precious. God, your word is holy. God, your word is to be revered. And God, I pray your anointing upon your reading of your word today. As the scripture is open, God, may your word go forward. May it accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to you. God, may you say like you do in Hebrews, may your word, that word is quick, is powerful, is sharper than a two-edged sword. God, may it cut where it needs to cut today. May it pierce where it needs to pierce. God, may we open up our minds. May we open up our hearts. May we open up our ears today, God, and receive your word, and not just be hearers of your word, but God, be doers of your word as well. God, it's your precious word. God, have your will and way done today in the service. God, we're going to thank you. We're going to praise you in advance, the Lord, for what you're going to do. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 20 and verses 1 through 17. It says this. It said, and God spake. First and foremost, we need to understand where the word came from. Amen. We need to understand what the word is about. We need to understand that it is God's word. And it said, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. We're going to go back there, my friend, because just as God delivered his word here, my friend, he's delivered it to you and me. We all were bound and in bondage of sin, but thank God he redeemed us and delivered us, my friends, from the bondage of sin. It says, I am the Lord God which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of the thing that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, and to keep it holy. Holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day, the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord giveth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet the neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet the neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is in thy neighbor's. When I talk about the scripture today, God speaks. God speaks and makes known his design. Through his word, my friend, God speaks to you and me. He reveals to us in his word what we should do, how we should live. He gave us the laws to abide by. And I say it all the time, God did not come to do away with the law, but he come that the law might be fulfilled, my friends. And every word in the word of God is to be desired. Every word in the word of God is for you and me, my friends, for our life. God's law is based on his divine character and nature. God based his law upon who he was as an individual. As divine character and nature, God give us his laws. My friend, it is simply a codified description of the life of what it looks like when lived as God intends and designed for us to live by it. God makes it clear in his word, my friend, and how we should live. And we see that in his word, God is gracious. He has given us law to serve as a schoolmaster. His law serves to you and me as a schoolmaster. It serves to us for us to be able to be taught through his word. And when we open it up, that we're able to be trained and understand what his word says. In Galatians 3:24, it talks about we are that schoolmaster. He said, wherefore the law was what? Our schoolmaster to bring us unto who? To bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Thank God that his law, thank God that his word is a schoolmaster. His word is beneficial for you and me. It's his word that we open up. It's his word that we study. It's his word that we apply to our life, my friends. It's his word that gets us excited. It's his word that gets us motivated. It's his word that brings about healing in our life, whether it's physical, spiritual, mental, family, whatever it is. It's his word, my friends, that breathes life into you and me, that gives us the zeal to keep on keeping on, that gives us the desire, the heart to love him, the heart to serve him, the heart to worship him, the heart that says, I know we're in a Baptist church, but it's okay to say amen. Amen. This scooter right here, I've jumped up on them many times and locked them in and preached on them. Oh, listen to me. It's God's word, and we're to be excited about what God has done. My friends, he saved us. We were destined and bound for hell, but he saved us. My friend and I've never got over it yet. If you've got over it, you need to revisit it where you got it from and get some excitement back in your life because of what Jesus has done. Oh, listen, it serves as our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to bring us to him, to bring us to his word, that we might be justified by faith in him. Oh, it's our schoolmaster. He gives it to us, teaching us his commands, teaching us how we to live, teaching us how we to love. The Ten Commandments was given, and Moses penned them down and was given by him. But Jesus took those Ten Commandments and he boiled them down into two so that you and I could understand. He gave us to him in Matthew 22 and 36 through 40. In Matthew 22, he said, and 36 through 40, he says, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he goes on to say, in verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all what? With all thy heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Do we love the Lord today with everything in us? Do we love him today with all our heart? And not only that, but he goes on to say, with all thy soul. And then he goes on to say, with all thy mind. Do we love the Lord thy God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind? Amen. Oh, listen, if we did, it'll make a change in our life. It'll have an impact in our life. It would change who we are as individuals. It'd give you a pep in the step when you don't got no pep. My friend, it'll give you some. Amen. It'll give you some high octane. I'm high all the time on Jesus. Amen. People think I'm high on some oxycodone or something else. and reefer smoking, whatever, but I'm high on Jesus, and you can get the same high as I got. Amen. You can get the same high as I got. It's in the Word of God. If you open it, you read it, you love it, you study it, you can get the same excitement as the Word of God. Oh, listen to me, Brother Earl gets so excited, and I'm so glad he's here today. He gets so excited that he runs slap out of his shoes sometimes. You just have to see him, my friend. It's exciting about the Word of God. Get to see Miss Jody. Excited about what God is doing. You know, and that excitement that you have, and that love that you have, the zeal that you have, comes from the Word of God. Comes from studying God's Word and asking Him to deliver it to you. Asking Him to give you what His Word says. And again, He says, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto Him, Thy commandments is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Verse 38 says, this is the first and greatest commandment. And 39 says, and second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws of the prophet. Oh, listen to me. What a picture of God's divine design. What a picture of God's divine design for your life and my life. And man living under the fellowship with God will resort to man living under fellowship with others. But man living under fellowship with God, it will have us, my friend, living under the fellowship with others, getting along, loving one another, putting Jesus first in our life, and He'll work out any differences that we may have in our lives. If we put Him first, allow Him to be first of our life, my friend. Allow Him to be boss, means Lord of your life. Lord means boss. Allowing Jesus to be in control of your life. When He's in control of your life, He works everything out. And my friend, it becomes a divine, beautiful picture that is painted, my friends, for you and I to follow. It's perfect. It's perfect in His design. It's perfect in His nature when He does it. Oh, listen to me. If you're taking notes, number one, God's design is for man to be rightly related to Him. God's design for you and me is to be rightly related to Him. God wants a relationship with you and me. God wants to be Lord of our life. He wants to be boss in our life. He wants to be Abba Father. He wants to be Daddy of your life and my life. Will you open up your heart today and let Him be Abba Father? Will you let Him be Jesus? Will you let Him be God of your life? Listen to me. He desires to be Lord of your life and God of our life. He desires that. He deserves that place in your life and my life. He gave His heart and life for you and me. He died upon the cross of Calvary for us so that we wouldn't have to, my friends. Oh, listen to me. The least that we could do is give our heart and life to Him. The least we can do is serve Him. The least we can do is abide by a scripture, live by a scripture, follow His scripture. It's the least that we can do, my friends, is live according to how He desires to be. Oh, listen, when you look and you look at these verses of scripture, the first four commandments is how we love in God. It's about loving God. The first four commandments is about loving God when you look at it. Verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods. Which we could say, worship God alone. Worship God alone. In verse 3 it says, thou shalt have no other gods. Meaning worship God alone. He desires to be first place in your life and my life. He desires to be number one in your life and my life. The first four I said is about loving God. Do we love the Lord today? Do we serve the God today? Do we honor Him, worship Him? Do we love God with everything in us today? Love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. He says, thou shalt have, in verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods. Worship God alone, which means God desires to be number one in your life and my life. God desires to be number one in your life and my life. And listen to me, if He's number one in your life and my life, everything else will fall into order. But my friend, when we got that messed up, everything in our life will be messed up. The order of our life will be messed up. Then he goes on to say in verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, which means no idols, which means there's no substitutes for God. Amen. There's no substitutes for God. Oh, you can go and check out Buddha all you want to, and he's a big old belly man, and the statue's still there where he was, where he's created. You can go and you can check out everything else that everybody else ever said they were God. But let me tell you something. Make you a trip on over to Jerusalem and check out the tomb where Jesus was laying. Because what's that, Brother Earl? Brother Earl, the tomb is empty where Jesus was laying. Amen. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The tomb is empty there. I serve a Savior that's alive and well. I serve a risen Savior. He's alive today. My friend, He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And my friend, because He conquered that, you and I will conquer it one day. You and I will conquer it one day. Oh, Miss Charlotte, I think about that. Miss Bunny, I think about one day. One day there's going to be a shout according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There's going to be a shout. There's going to be a voice of an archangel. And the trump of God's going to sound. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive will be caught up together in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with them words. I can find comfort and now I'm listening for the trumpet sounding. Y'all are listening for the trumpet sounding. You're listening for it. Listening for it. All those that's lost loved ones going on to be with Jesus. Are you listening for the trumpet sound? Are you listening for the trumpet sound when we go to be home with Him? Oh, what an exciting time. What an exciting time that's going to be. And He says, thou shalt not make any graven images. Worship God alone. Verse 7 says, thou shalt not take God's name in vain. Which it could say, revere God's name as holy. Revere God's name as holy. Respect God as who He is. Revere Him as holy. As the songs we sang earlier, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy is His name. Worthy is His name. Hallelujah. Worship God Almighty. I about was ready to take out of here. My friend, because I was worshiping the Lord. About ready to leave this place behind. What a day that's going to be. Worshiping Him. Holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worshiping Him. Did you think about that? Thinking about worshiping Him. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worshiping Him. What a day that's going to be. Oh, respect His name. Revere His name as holy. Don't take God for granted. Don't take God for granted, my friends. Oh, don't take it for granted in what He's done. Oh, to live our lives as God designed them to be. God must first be first place in your life and my life. Amen. To live it as He has designed your life and my life to be. Verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Oh, the Sabbath day is holy. It's a time spent with God that God designed and desired for you and me. But listen to me. He just don't want us to spend time with Him on a Sabbath day. He wants us to spend time with Him every day. Amen. With every day. He desires you and me to spend time with Him every day. God wants to hear from you and from me as His children. He desires to hear from us every day, my friend. And He deserves to hear from you and me. Oh, listen to me. As I said, He's Abba, Daddy. He's Abba, Father. And He desires a relationship with you and me. He desires for you and me to call upon His name. He says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That time we spend with God should be a priority in our lives. Not only just on the Sabbath day, but the time we spend with God every day of our life should be a priority in your life and my life. To get in God's Word, to study it, to read it, my friends, to understand it. Ask God by His grace to help you live with Him in first place. Help you live with Him in first place. Because God desires and designs to be first in your life and my life. Asking to help you live in first place with Him. He desires, my friend, to be in that place. And my friend, He wants to be there. And listen to me. There might be things that take place in Him today. But my friend, we're going to have a time that you can make Jesus Lord of your life. A time that He can truly be boss of your life. A time that He desires to be number one. Not only that, but if you're taking notes, God's design for man was to be right in relationship with others. Oh, listen to me. The next six verses, I said the first four verses, what about loving God? The next six verses is about loving others, isn't the next six verses? When God has first place in our lives and we walk in complete surrender to obedience of Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our life, everything will fall in place in our relationships, our marriages, our as parenting, as working, or whatever. My friend, it'll fall into place. Oh, listen to me. And our relationships will begin to flourish in the Lord. They begin to flourish in the Lord when God is in His right place in your life and my life, and that means first place. Oh, look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. How many children I got in here? College and career, teenagers, children. Where y'all at? Stand up. Stand up. All my children. All my college and career. Amen. Look at them. All of them in here. My college and career, my children. Y'all stand up. My college and career age, my children, and stuff like that. These are an amazing group of youth. They're amazing. They're doing servant's heart. Don't sit down. I ain't told you to sit down yet. Stand up. Y'all going to learn something in Scripture real quick. Stand up. All my kids, stand back up. Don't sit down yet. All right. You know, they're doing an amazing job. They're going out and doing servant's heart. They're working. They had a game day at shooting up paintballs and Wayne's World and all that Saturday. They had a bunch of fun. But they're servant's heart. But I had y'all stand up for a reason. I had y'all stand up for a reason. Verse 12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Some of y'all sat down. Uh-oh. Stand up, children. Some of y'all say, amen. Yeah. Y'all ain't married yet. Y'all college and career and children.
Amen.
He says, honor. But listen to me. It's wisdom. Y'all listening? I got wisdom now. He says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee. Amen. You know why he says that it may be long upon the land? Because mama and daddy birthed you and they can take you out of here. Amen. Y'all can sit now. Amen. Give our youth a hand. I pick on them all the time. Honor thy father and thy mother, so the days on the earth will be long. Because mama and daddy can shorten them for you. Hey, I started out when I was born 8 foot tall. But after my mama beat the devil out of me for years, she whittled me down to 5 foot. And I say 6 foot, and Jesus whittled me down to 5 foot. Oh, honor thy father and thy mother. You know why? Respect and submission is a critical lesson to teach our children. Respect and submission is a critical lesson to teach our children to honor thy father and thy mother. I walk around in society today. I walk around in the community. And I see children blatantly disrespecting mom and dad. Blatantly disrespecting. Don't want to listen to nothing. Tell them four or five times and tell them four or five times, I'm going to spank you. You don't listen. And the fifth time, you're still saying, I'm going to spank you if you don't listen. Bless God. Do what you said you're going to do. Spank them the first time. Bang on the first time. I'm living proof it didn't kill me.
Amen.
And I got many of them. Amen. Amen. Do what you said you're going to do. Follow through with what you say you're going to follow through with. Teach respect, submission. It's critical in our lives in raising children in today's society. Because there is no reverence, no respect for God's word, for mom and daddy, or anybody else in this generation that's being raised today. Folks, we got to teach them respect. We got to teach them a lesson in life. It goes on to say in verse 13, thou shalt not kill. We simply walk according to God's character and nature. Show respect for human life. Life is precious and priceless. My friends, there is no respect for human life. You just look at the news over the past week or two and you see, you know, pedophiles and everything else that are 50, 60 year old going to take an 8 year old out and kill them and all that stuff. There's no respect for life. No. I wish I could run into him. I'd teach him some respect. There's no respect in life, no regard for life, no respect at all. My friend, we're the ones to set the example in our homes, in our lives, in our churches. Teaching respect and sanctity of life is precious in God's eyes. You know what? I often think of the millions and millions and millions of babies that's been aborted. I often think, you know, the government and all everybody else says, man, there's not going to be enough Social Security in there to last or do anything else. And there's not going to be enough money in here for retirements and things of that nature. You know what? When I think about a million babies that have been aborted, that's a million taxpayers. Did you ever think about that? That might be a doctor, a lawyer, the next president, whatever. But even more than that, that's a million taxpayers that's being aborted in the lifetime of you and me. And they wonder why. Wonder why are we in the shape we're in. Verse 14 says, rather having to be told not commit adultery, we should simply walk according to God's design. If we walked according to God's design, we wouldn't have to worry about adultery. We wouldn't know. Be faithful in your relationships. Amen? Be faithful in your relationships, which God designed and desired for us to do. Are we struggling in our relationships with others? If that be the case, then we're probably not letting God be first place in our life. Amen. If He's first place in our life, everything else will fall into place. Everything else will fall into place. Verse 15 says, thou shalt not steal. Don't deny others what God has given them. Leave it alone if it don't belong to you. Amen? You come take something from my house and you didn't ask for it, you might get a meeting arranged with Jesus. Amen, oh me. Don't take what don't belong to you. Amen. If it don't belong to you, leave it alone. Why are you going to rob somebody of the blessing God gave them? Don't take it if it... What's wrong with the people today? If somebody would just preach the word of God to them, maybe they'd change the world. Amen. It's simple. It's God's word. He penned it down for us to read and abide and follow. Don't steal. Don't take. Deny others what God has given them. If it don't belong to you, leave it alone. Verse 16, amen, period. Verse 16 says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. No lying. A truthful God expects truthful people. Amen. And verse 17 says, thou shalt not covet. No greed. Be satisfied and content with what God has given you. Be satisfied with what God has given you. God's law stands as a reminder that none of us can measure up to God's standards. But my friend, He gives us the way that we can. He gives us the way that we can in our life to measure up to that. You see, in Romans 3:10, He tells us in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. My friends, but the way to get to the righteous one is through Jesus. The way is to take His word for what it says. Read His word, study His word, apply His word in living those lives, my friend. You see in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's me, that's you, that's all of us in here. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have done that. My friend, what's coming short of the glory of God? I said it before. God had heaven intended for you and me. But sin in our life causes us to miss the mark. And far short of Him. My friend, get it right with the Lord. Get your right with him, life right with Him, and He'll guide you. You know, I listen all the time in the Sunday school class of E4. And again, Steve took my notes. And he was teaching on them today out of James. And in James, I thought about thinking about what he was saying. And in James chapter 2:10, I'd already thought about saying this. It says, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend one point is guilty of law, of it all. And that's what Steve was on today. And he was on James, and he's talking about James 4:17. And in James 4:17, I heard him quote it to him. To him to know to do good. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. To know to do good and to do it not is sin. It's not necessarily that I've done slapped somebody, beat them up, stole their goods, cussed God's name out or nothing like that. It could be as simply as knowing to do good and to do it not. To him it is what? Sin. Simple as know to do something good. God told you to bless somebody. God told you to do this in your life and to do that. And you chose not to do it. To him it is sin. Oh, listen to me. I think about Matthew 5:17. In Matthew 5:17, I think about it. It says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Folks, listen to me. There's a lot of things in life that we do. There's a lot of things that transpire. My friend, God gave his laws to you and me to abide by. God gave his laws and instructions for us to follow. And folks, when we do that, we live in perfect harmony with him. When we do that, we live in perfect harmony with others. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today. The first four commandments was about loving God. The first four commandments was about loving God. Do we love God the way that he loves us? Do we love God the way that he loves us? And then the next six verses was about loving others, respecting others, loving others. And the two greatest commandments, as I said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the next is love thy neighbor as thyself. My friend, if we took those two commandments and applied them to our heart today, think of what this world could be. Think of what this world could be like. I want to encourage you today. Make those decisions in your life. Oh, listen, you might be here and never ask Jesus in your heart to be your Lord and Savior. My friend, won't you do so? He says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you call upon him today? Won't you let him be Lord of your life, boss of your life today? Oh, maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. I don't know. This would love to be your family of God. I'd love to be your pastor. Maybe you're here and you want to spend some time at the altar. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper today. And it is an open communion, and I'll share that with you in a minute. We're going to partake of that. But in that scripture in Corinthians, God says, let a man examine himself. And so see if he is worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. Amen. Because if you take unworthily, you take unto damnation of your life. My friend, maybe it's time we do some soul searching. And ask God, God, am I worthy in my life? Is it worthy today to partake of the Lord's Supper? God, it is not. And there's something hindering my life and from being in fellowship with you. God, show me what it is. God, let me get it right. Maybe you want to spend some time at the altar and make it right with the Lord today. I don't know. Will you stand with me? As God leads and lays upon your heart, as God begins to knock on your heart's door, open up your heart's door and let him come in.